I remember telling Dr. Baldwin one time after a chapel service where they sang and everyone stood up. I think that's called an ovation. Standing ovation? Anyway, I told him, you know, I hope that when I'm as mature as he is, that I will be treated like a rock star in the seminary building. Great. Well, today, you know, one of the things about being a leader is that you end up making everyone happy. It's like being a pastor. You make some of them happy when you come. Leadership is a challenging responsibility. And every leader is cut out of a different piece of cloth. I remember when I was serving in the Southern Union, Georgia Cumberland Conference, from time to time I would come up here and I don't remember exactly why, but we would interact from time to time. And I got the impression here is a very serious man. He takes his job seriously. He's not frivolous about humor. He's careful, disciplined with his time. And I remember thinking, I wish that I was a little more like that. You know, not quite so volatile in terms of fluctuation of emotion and what have you. Here's a man who's... Anyway, leadership. It is hard. It is hard. There were times in my 5 years that I have been here that I worried about our dean because of the burdens he carried. It was on his shoulders that most of the criticism would land whenever critics were looking for things to criticize about. And he carried it well. The late Edwin Friedman refers to the fact that a leader must demonstrate a non-anxious presence. And Denis, I felt that you demonstrated that quality. And not that you weren't anxious sometimes, I'm sure you were, but you demonstrated that presence. Now, I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to move on to a couple of testimonies that I gathered from colleagues here at the seminary regarding Dr. Fortin as an administrator. The first one I will read is from my predecessor as chair of the Christian Ministry Department, Dr. Peter Swanson. He says, as department chair, it was my privilege to see Denis at work in a variety of settings. I saw his fairness when the dean's council was wrestling with difficult student life issues. I heard his compassion when speaking of his genuine concern for colleagues and students who were struggling with health or family crisis. I saw his humility when he candidly admitted that he needed wider counsel before making tough decisions. Most memorable to me, though, were the times when he and I were alone in his office discussing some important matters. He never seemed rushed. He gave full and focused attention to the issues and even took notes about the significant points in our discussion. His graciousness and his broad grasp of the issues at stake gave me confidence in his leadership and inspired me to emulate in my work the excellence that he brought to his role as dean of the seminary. Peter Swanson. The next is from a colleague on a different floor, Dr. Che. He says, I would describe Denis' leadership as very competent, down to earth, and giving. Administration was easy for Denis. Now, I think if you ask Denis, he might not agree. Okay, but nonetheless, this is your testimony. But he was so down to earth that he sometimes forgot how much he was doing for the seminary. couple of years ago, during a private meeting with him in his office, I thanked him for the things he was doing for us faculty. He seemed not to know what I meant, so I mentioned to him, among other things, the new sabbatical policy and the 300 departmental social money as a few of his gifts to us to help, to help stimulate research and professional growth. He sheepishly replied, "Oh, those." Also, he has been an administrator who gave and gave without asking anything in return. At the beginning of his deanship, he told me that he felt that the New Testament department was weak. Quite honestly, I was a bit taken aback by this blunt comment. He is capable of making blunt comments. I was a bit taken aback by this blunt comment, but since then, he has worked with me to strengthen the department academically, spiritually, and in terms of reputation. He gave me many valuable tips on how to do it. He was also instrumental in the appointment of Tom Shepherd and Ranko Stavon. He did all of this without asking anything in return. Now, I want to share a short testimony that happened to me. Denis, you probably don't even remember this. We were sitting in a committee. I do not remember what committee. And there was a chairman, a person that was speaking. Denis was not chairman of the committee. And I'll just put it this way. I've never really achieved what I hope to achieve in becoming more disciplined like you. Okay, so I wrote him a note about something. I have no idea. I don't remember what the note was about, but I remember what color the paper was. I wrote a note on a piece of yellow paper. I folded it nicely, put his name on the outside, and I passed it down about four people until it came to him. Now, here's what happened when it got to Denis. He picked up one side of his notebook. He did not even look at the note. And here's what he did. He slides it along the table under the notebook and puts the notebook down. He did not read my note. And in that moment, I experienced a well-deserved rebuke. Now, he doesn't know he rebuked me. But here's what I learned from that moment. There was a person whose attention deserved my attention. Whose presence deserved my attention. And my lack of discipline allowed me to be thinking about something else and writing a note when I should have been listening. I'm done. And so, as an administrator, Denis, you have made a difference in my life and in the lives of many others. And I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty sing, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. So freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the God. Sanctify
Brad, they are wonderful words, aren't they? On the front page of Reader's Digest, in the latest Reader's Digest, it says, the 100 most trusted people in America. You know what? Denis Fortin did not make that list. There's only one reason that he did not make that list. Of the 1,000 that they surveyed to get their list, they didn't ask me. They didn't ask me. Because if they had asked me, I would have told them that one of the most trusted people in my whole repertoire of friends, colleagues, is Denis Fortin. Blackaby says that people know intuitively that claiming to be a leader or holding a leadership position does not make someone a leader. Listen, people are warily looking for leaders they can trust. And I'm happy to stand here this morning, Denis, and say, I trust you. I've trusted your leadership and I've delighted in that ability to be able to trust you. And I'll tell you why I trust him. Because he's a spiritual leader. He's not just a leader. He's not even just a leader of a religious institution, but he is a spiritual leader. What makes him a spiritual leader? This is what I've noticed. What I've noticed is that his ministry is not about him, but it's about God. And as we've sat together in committees and worked in this building, Denis, I've noticed that this is not about you. This is about God. And that's what makes me trust you. That's what makes me enjoy working with you, and I have done that in the last 6 years. It's not about you. Denis will not be enjoying this morning because he's a very humble person. He doesn't like the limelight. That's strange for a leader, but that's what a spiritual leader is like. It's about God, and it's not about him. He's a very humble person. You know, I've chosen my words carefully this morning because I believe with all my heart that flattery is a sin, but affirmation is a privilege. And I get the privilege of speaking on all your behalves this morning in affirming this man who has led us so well. It's not about him, it's about God. And because of that humility, another thing I've noticed is that while he doesn't take the praise, he does take the heat. And in the 6 years I've been here, and some of you have been lots of years, longer than that, I've noticed him take the heat. When things go wrong, he doesn't blame other people. When criticisms come, he takes it. He doesn't push it off. And you know, when you think about it, that was just like Jesus. Jesus got lots of criticism, didn't he? And he didn't go along and say, well, actually, I told the disciples to do this and this, and they didn't. So, you know, just put the blame on them. Jesus was a true spiritual leader. And Denis, what I've loved about your leadership, when two Catholic priests came here, there was no... It was, I'll take it. When people, there was a ruckus about spirituality, you didn't say, you said, I'll take it. Doesn't take the praise, but a true spiritual leader knows he has to take the heat. And as faculty, we want to say, we love you for that. That takes courage, and that kind of courage comes from knowing this is about God. It's not about us. Not about you. I've loved Denis' spiritual vision. Stan, you talked about one moment. I want to share one moment that I had with Denis, lots of them, but one day we're sitting in his office. He has a little round table in his office, and you get to sit in his office and round that table on occasions. And we were sitting there one day talking about the seminary, talking about the church. Denis sitting there now thinking, which was this one? Talking about the seminary, talking about the church. And he shared with me a little of his vision about the church. And you know what that vision was about? It was about the spiritual life of the church. And, you know, I've not seen water in Denis' eyes all that often, but there was water in his eyes. There was anxiety. There was pain. There was, I guess, that vision for a renewal of spiritual life in this church. And I just, in that moment, Stan, I said, I'm glad I'm here. This is a vision I can wholeheartedly follow my leader with. And we all thank you for that vision. A vision for the spiritual life of this church. That vision led to something that was listed by a number of people, and I wasn't in that group, so I can say this honestly. Part of that vision was a new department. Your vision was, we want a department that specialises in the spiritual life of the church. We thank you for that vision. The last thing I want to say, Denis, is Blackaby said this also. Spiritual leadership is not an occupation. It's a calling. All of us want to thank you for following your calling.
Testing, testing.
Testing.
Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. You've been so good to me. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. I'm grateful for my life blessings.
I'm grateful for my struggles,
trials and tribulations I've been through. I've realized no one can love like you do. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. I feel your presence near. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. I won't hold back my tears. I gave you my trust, and you took me out of the dark rain. My Lord, I survived it. I give you the praise. Lord, good to me. I'm so grateful for my blessings, giving you all the praise. Lord, you've been so good. You've been so good to me. I'm grateful for giving you all the praise.
Jesus loves me.
Oh, yes, he does.
Jesus loves me.
Oh, yes, he does. Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, he does.
For the Bible tells me
so.
My Jesus loves me, I know he does.
Too bad you cannot sing lower. We would take you into our quartet. I think it was 1978. I was pastor for several years. I have become youth director for the conference, and I visited the church for the first time. And I met a young man. And if you met him then, and you meet him now, you would recognize him perfectly. Physically, he didn't change, except for the beard. That's right. We talked, and he had ideas, and he had plans, and he wanted more education. So we talked about it. I was already contacted by Canadian Union College, but the conference said next year, maybe. So I suggested to him Canadian Union College. Well, next year, I saw him in my class, my classes. And I was watching him, not only because I knew him, but because he was bilingual. And in Canada, that was extremely important. Classes were all in English, and he did very well. Well, then our paths separated. He remained in Canada. I came to Andrews. But like a homing pigeon, he came back. He came to Andrews. Again, we met in classes. And again, I was testing him. And, you know, to be chair of a department is not a simple thing. I know how complicated it is since I have stopped being one. But it grows on you. One of the things that you do almost subconsciously is you observe, you look, you remember, oh, I saw this one on this continent, this one on that continent, and I like what he is doing here or that. Is it systematic? Is it historical? Is it philosophy? Is it ethics? What is it? Because when it comes to finding a right professor for the seminary, we must have a good list. Well, the time came, his name came on, and we talked and we weighed and we called, and he came. So the title is Friend and Mentor, and I cannot separate the two. Anybody who would be mentor must be a friend. And everybody who is a friend will be mentor. And this very well-known verse from Proverbs 17:17 is not always rosy. It says, friend loves at all times. None of us are always lovable. But we must always be loving. So, it was okay while he was in the department. We worked very well together and so on. Then he became associate dean. Now, the roles started changing a little bit, just a little bit. And that's the grace of Christ that he didn't become dean immediately. Because now he was dealing with curriculum and things like that. So we worked together and so on. He knew how I was thinking and I knew how he thinks. So I think we were both ready for each other. But then he becomes a dean. And I was happy. I must say I was happy. But as ethicist, I have noticed few things coming to my mind. Now, Dean is my friend. So how do you relate to that? Well, there are several things that come to my mind. One thing that happened is that a couple of times we were putting in practice Proverbs 27:17, like iron sharpens iron. No fuzzy wuzzy always. But what was nice is that even if sparks came, It came in friendly fashion. He always addressed me by my middle name, Mirko. Always. But then another temptation, old devil is not dead yet. When there were some positions open and so on, I must read this one, Proverbs 19. And I'm glad that Solomon was ethicist. Proverbs 19:6. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. We call it preferential treatment.